Tonight on TMSPM, it's time to pay you all back.
And payback's up. HBO goes all kids.
You're not wrong about where he almost went. Smith demands a reboot.
Shatner on the water.
Dan the tabletop man. Oh, and more on this episode of The Morning Stream PM.
This is The Morning Stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night. TMS PM.
Welcome to another edition of Nothing's Going the Way It's Supposed To. I'm Scott Johnson, that's Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Oh, hello.
Man, the hoops you jump through to make sure this works tonight.
Right.
Sheesh. People don't even know. At home, you don't even know.
You don't even know. You didn't hear any of that, but the chat room did.
No, they don't even know.
I heard all of it.
Chat room's the best because they can handle this. You guys at home, you're not ready. You're not ready for this. All right? So we're not even going to tell you.
Yeah. At one point after the lockup, I had nothing in my ears but a repeating loop playing from Skype going, it was my voice going, with the jazz music in the background.
Oh, perfect. That only happened, by the way, after I cut power to... Oh, that's bad news, actually, that you heard that. But anyway, it's after I cut power to a monitor. And
oh boy.
When I do that, then it creates the sound loop. But it's not supposed to where it's plugged in. Anyway, more on that later. Back to us. Let's do a show, a program of auditory delights. Put together something fun. It's TMSPM, the PM edition of the show. Brought to you by patreon.com/TMS. I'm happy to be here. Brian's probably pretty happy to be here, right?
I'm very happy to be here, and I'm happy for all the support that you guys give us via Patreon. Mm. And you weren't expecting me to say, like, start plugging Patreon, but I'm gonna.
Well, here's
the
deal.
I'm happy for all the love we get via Patreon.
Well, good, good. One of the things we get is a lot of support and love when podcast award season comes around, if that's even a thing. I may have just made it up. I guess there is, because there's one award show.
There's award season, because there's now two different awards things.
Mm-hmm. One of which hardly said anything about anything.
Right.
They were real quiet about that.
They did award things, but you had to do some real digging to find it.
Yeah, and I didn't hear anything online about it.
No.
Like, nothing with all my podcast circles. Like, no one said a word. That was really weird, I thought. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yes. One thing that we did this last year, this previous award season, was we said... Hey, if you guys go and do your duty to vote every day for the Frog Pants shows and friends of Frog Pants shows that you like, that we would pay you back. And the way we would pay you back is we would do a thing we're about to do. And it's a big, scary thing, Brian. I'm terrified of it.
Big, scary thing.
Yeah. So you want to explain kind of how this came? Give us the quick lowdown.
Podcast Awards, not the Academy of Podcasting Awards, which was the one down in Austin, but the Podcast Awards, for all intents and purposes, it's a popularity contest. It's basically who can garner the most votes from their listeners. Mm-hmm. And we're not above saying, hey, go to the Podcast Awards site every day and vote for us. And what we did kind of make it so it wasn't just a you give and you give and you give and we don't give anything back. We decided to say, you know what, if we win, if you guys vote us into the winner's circle on this thing, we will give you guys something back. We will let you pick a ton of different goofy segment ideas for TMS, and we will just do them rapid fire style, like one little 2-minute bit after another, and it could be anything. The list that you guys came up with is just about anything.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to say that this list I'm looking at is about 3/4 of the suggestions that people had.
Yeah, we did as many as we could do. Mm-hmm. Some of them just didn't make sense, or they required a bunch of shifteroo with other people during the week that obviously aren't going to be here today.
Guests. Yeah.
We're not. It doesn't mean we're getting rid of that stuff. That's a permanent record. We'll hang on to that. Maybe there's another opportunity down the road, but
that's right.
For now, we're gonna dig into this list and do these things as we promised we would, and I'm kind of terrified.
You shouldn't be. I think this is going to be fun, and I think, you know, kind of like what we did at Nerdtacular with the whole improv bit that you and I got up there and did to kind of fill time after another thing kind of fell through.
Yeah.
Which was actually filler for another thing that kind of fell through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that. And that worked out. That worked out good. Like, we walked away from that feeling like we kind of didn't suck.
Right. No, I feel like we you know, we promised people a totally rad pre-show, and we gave them a totally rad pre-show.
That's the word anyway. People seem to like it. Yes. So because of that, I don't know if there's any record of it. I don't think that got recorded.
No. So, wow. It was, if you weren't there for it, you didn't see it. It was
exclusive.
Like,
yep.
Some impromptu improv from you and I.
Mm-hmm. And I was more nervous. I was less nervous then than I am now for some reason. I don't know why.
Well, because I think I sprung some of the stuff on you that I was thinking about for that. So,
well, either way, this is something I've had some time to think about today. And then today got crazy busy. So I've had about as much prep time as nothing. So in a way, it's better because I can just launch into this and not worry about it. Right. Just go for it.
Perfect.
So here are the weird segment ideas. We're just going to do them in order, and I'm not going to, you know, we'll just do them as we hit them.
We'll give
credit to the people who gave them to us. I don't think there's any prerequisite for how long each one should be or anything. And in a couple of cases, there is. Like this first one, they want 2 to 3 minutes. But
yeah, they'll get what they get.
Yeah. You get what you get, Chad Dorr, by the way, who gave us lots of suggestions, I might add.
Chad was full of suggestions.
Mm-hmm. In fact, at least two on here got picked from him.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them looks like there was a few others that were maybe a double up, but for the most part, we got a pretty good range of a lot of people.
Yeah, Pete McCann will be happy about our choices.
How about I saw another name that looked familiar. Is it Rob Bateman? Maybe Bob Bateman.
No,
he's only once.
Seeing lots of singles, singles.
Joey Image got in here once.
Well, whatever Joey Image asks for, we kind of have to do it.
Oh, no. He'll slap you in the chest.
He crap out of us sideways is what he could do.
I
ribbed
that.
His belly at Nerdtacular, his bare belly.
Ew, really? Well, where was this? What was this occasion?
It was in the hallway in front of ballroom A or whatever it was.
Yeah? Was it all hairy and just like gnarly or what?
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, good Lord. That gives me the creepos. How did it happen? You just walk up, throw a shirt up, and say, "Here, rub."
No, I think we were talking about something, and then for some reason, he pulled his shirt up to show me his gut, and I said, "Oh!" And then I went. I don't even remember the context. There were like 4 or 5 people around us. Yeah. You know how stuff happens at Nerdtacular. You're walking around and. You know, you're shaking hands with people, some people running up, giving them a hug, all that stuff, and taking photos, and stuff just happens.
And surely it doesn't matter. Brian sees the opportunity and just goes. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, of course.
I understand that.
Hey, there's photos around of me with my hand on your, gently cupping your right breast.
Yeah. People kissed your head, too. Don't forget.
They did, with vinegar breath.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about how that worked out. Well, all right. That's all well and good. Let's just dive in. Let's start with Chad Doors. He says, I'd like to hear a 2 to 3 minute segment, we'll see how long it goes, on Scott's take of any single Doctor Who episode.
All right.
Now, I will admit to something now, and then I will do what he said. I have only ever seen maybe 2 complete episodes of Doctor Who. One was like a Tom Baker thing in the 70s. And one was when I did an autopilot thing where I watched the old black and white original pilot, but it was like 20 minutes long with Tom Merritt.
So you haven't even seen any of the new ones?
Not really.
It's been
bits and pieces, but never a whole episode.
Okay.
So I saw Eccleston running around yelling at a blonde girl or something happened like that. Mm-hmm. I think I saw some kind of garbage can man or something.
Yeah, the blonde girl would be Billy Piper.
Okay.
And she gets all kinds of naked in that Penny Dreadful. Holy mackerel.
Oh, really? The Doctor Who girl. Well, that's interesting.
The Doctor Who girl.
I hear that show's a better version of
American Horror Story.
American Horror Story. Is that true?
100%. Hmm. Yeah. It is genuinely scary.
Is it set in the past?
It is. It actually, you could probably put those two shows, you could probably put Penny Dreadful in the same timeline as Peaky Blinders.
All right. I like that time. Yeah, the industrial British Revolution time thing.
Pretty much. Exactly. Like, all going on simultaneously.
By the way, my feeling before that True Blood is poo.
Mm-hmm.
True Blood is still poo.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's not going to get better.
It's a terrible show. My wife is trying to watch the whole thing, and she's, I don't know where she is, season 3 or something. And she'll probably see the whole thing through because she's like vampire. She loves that stuff. I think it's the worst thing HBO's ever made.
Worse than Entourage?
I haven't seen Entourage, so I can't say.
I would say that True Blood is worse than Entourage. I kind of enjoyed Entourage for its really surface level goofiness, and it's no small part to Jeremy Piven, who I think was the blood that moved that show.
Yeah, and you get a, you can actually somehow muster a movie out of that. I don't think you muster a True Blood movie. You know what I mean? Like, at least they can return to that. True Blood's so bad, they won't even do that. So, anyway.
It's okay.
It's okay. I'm living under that.
You gotta decide between me and...
That's what the whole show is. Decide between me and this other dude. Right. Oh, and there's a side story.
Maybe the other dude's a vampire, but it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
You gotta decide.
Your shape-shifting friend makes good beer, it's okay. Yeah, I live under a house. I
hated it. Anyway, here's my 2 to 3 minute segment on any single Doctor Who episode, given what people know about what I've seen. Here you go.
Starting the timer.
So, I don't know the name. It's probably like Attack of the Were-People. All right? That was the name of the episode. Yep. In walks a guy with a scarf, hat. I'm pretty sure this is Tom Baker. He's up to no good. He's got a little screwdriver unit there and walks. He flies around in a flying police phone booth. And he's real into that, thinks that's great. Has a little lady friend with him all the time. And at some point in this episode, he walks into a room, and the way they film these things, and if a bright light was on the screen, it would leave a big smeary light.
After image?
Yeah, after image, like videotape.
Totally would.
Yeah, so that was in there. And then
the whole thing looked like it would be filmed on a camcorder.
Yep. And then in walked like a garbage can robot that went, warning, warning, danger, danger, or something like that. And everyone went, oh no, it's the Daleks. The Daleks, something like that. And they were like, oh shoot, that's a bad thing, because all the trash can robot people are here to kill us. They're very unfriendly. And despite their lack of mobility, somehow we still can't defeat them, even though they can barely move. So we're going to go ahead and make a whole episode, and maybe even multiple episodes like this. They're going to be kind of like our Borg, they would say, in the 60s, long before the Borg existed. And then these robots would come and yell, exterminate. And then I think at some point the good doctor had the forethought to use his magic screwdriver unit thing there, and that send the trash can people on the run, and close scene.
That's very good. 1:30.
No, that's not too bad. I'll take that.
Not bad at all. Yeah.
Yeah. So was I accurate though, chat room? Come on, you guys you felt pretty good about my my remembering.
Oh, you are gonna get emails. No, I think that was pretty right on.
All right. Well, I enjoyed it, and that's really all that matters to me.
I like how you got two, one right after the other. That's all you.
Oh, great. I forgot. All right. Now we got one from Fernando Gonzalez, who wants Scott Does Math.
Yeah. Now, how are we going to do this?
Okay. So I have some math for you. Do you want some math?
Give me math.
Okay. I'm going to give you some hard math. Here are some hard, very hard math problems, and I want to share them.
Give me some math, Mr. White.
Whoops. Hold on. Let's skip down here. This doesn't actually give me the answers, though. That's going to be hard. Well, I'll try it anyway. Here you go. What is the square root of 1 million? I think the square root of 1 million should be 1,019. Okay. What is 5,349 to the third power equals? That's what it says. What is the 5,349 to the third power equals? I'm going to say 28,613,800. Okay, that's my answer.
Okay, all right.
Here's another bit of math. I'm making these up. I really don't know if these are true or not.
Where are you getting these, by the way?
Just odd random things on the internet.
Oh, okay.
2,769 times 10 to the negative third power equals 0.002769, true or false? I'm going to say true. Why not?
Sure.
Then finally, 123 times 60 underscore something equals 1485, true or false? I'm going with false. That was a jumbo mumbo. That's no way that's true.
Well, especially when whatever is under that horizontal line is just called something.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell that is.
Is that like a Greek symbol or something?
Yeah, something like that, kind of.
And like then, a U with an extra tail on it?
Yep, and then finally, 6 divided by 2... B equals 1, C equals 2, equals ? The answer is 9. All right, Scott Does Math. All I did it. My job there is complete. Brian, your next one is...
Checkmark on all these.
You also got a Chad Door to do.
All right, here's a Chad Door. All right. Brian Ibbotson segment called Nothing But Wrist Dicks. Okay. So I'm guessing with this, it's just me sending wrist dicks to all the people in my... Apple Watch Club that actually have one of these that can receive said wristbands. I could send something to you. You're not going to see it. You're not going to receive it. You must have an Apple Watch to receive a wristband.
That's true. It's too bad it won't send it like as a text message. I wish it would.
I know. Yeah, you did like a bummer, right?
Yeah, real bummer.
Seems like it would be easy enough to do. Okay, yeah. So start the timer. We're going to start with Corinne because she came up first in the in this list. So we're drawing, and I don't know how well you can see these in the.
You can see the bright flash of the initial stroke.
Okay.
So I think you get a good. Oh yeah, you can. Kind
do of I see. Need to turn off my? That one's like jagged.
Ooh, man, that that's hurt. You need to run if you see one of those pop out.
Okay, there's Corinne.
All right.
Let's send one to Jury.
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Probably flying somewhere ungodly this hour.
And then we'll do this one kind of like this one straight up.
Oh man,
you it's made a fat short one.
You made a real beaut at Nerdtacular. Is my recommendal? My what's it called? My recollection.
Nerdtacular.
Yeah, Thursday that night you made a beauty.
Oh, did it send that one? I hope it did. All right, we're gonna assume that one sent.
All right.
Who else we got? Let's send one to Hammond Chamberlain.
All right. Hammond Chamberlain, a local
watch owner.
Yeah, local Salt Lake City native.
We'll do an X.
Okay.
Of Rick Ristix. Oh man, that's really horrible.
That's a monster. Yeah, again, that would be cause.
It's like that's actually the Loch Ness monster behind that one.
Oh,
right there.
Okay, yeah, proof finally that it exists. That one made me think you should go have a doctor look at that one.
Oh, and Corinne sends something back.
Oh, good. What did we get from
her? Let's see what we get back from Corinne,
all right.
Shall we?
Yeah, let's take a look.
Here it comes.
All right.
I get a tap, little fireworky tap thing going on.
Yeah.
And E-W-W.
Ew.
Spells ew.
Ew. Okay. And she probably doesn't know we're doing this live on the show. That's the best part.
She'll find out when she listens later.
I guess
so. All
right,
very good.
All right, nicely done. You did it.
Nothing but wristicks complete.
Nolson Morjon says, do a skit where Brian plays George Takei and Scott plays Sean Connery at the podcast awards as special guest judges. So I need to get some judge music up here. I've got some. Right. Let's see.
The tentacles
No, that's not it. Hold on, where is it? It is, here it is, I found it. So I'm gonna play this and then we're gonna come out on stage, okay?
Okay.
So remember, you're George Takei, you take the mic first because you're really the guy that they want to see. Sean Connery's kind of in the background. I'll be
you think
there,
so? You think
you have seniority at Podcast Awards. It's more nerdy. Okay. He doesn't know what's really going on. So here we go, I'm gonna play it, here we go. Come out, they grab the microphones, the crowd is, and then you speak.
Well, could we get the music turned down a little bit, please?
Listen here. Pick.
I can't do this. I'm going to try. All right, ready? Okay, ready.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm not even sure what a podcast is.
Well, I've actually listened to several podcasts. Why don't we go ahead and start with the education category? I'm sorry, looks like a typo on the screen. Looks like they've typed the word eduction. Oh, my. So, first nominee is Grammar Girl. Oh, I like Grammar Girl. I've listened to Grammar Girl's podcast.
I don't know what any of this is. Oh, I'm next. I'll do the next nomination. Let's see. You ever lose your car keys? Second nomination is in the category of education. Reading books with Barry.
I don't know what something's happening to his voice.
It almost sounds like you're one of an old West appearance of Sean Connery's. Have you done any Westerns?
Oh, look, we're out of time.
All right, that's our time on stage.
Very good.
Oh, good Lord. That was frightening and horrible. Nicely done, though.
Thanks.
Pete McCann wrote in, says, a game where Scott and Brian and guest, if there is one, can only talk in song titles or movie titles. So we don't have a guest, but we have you and I, and I'm all into this. So I don't. The hard part about this is I don't know how to start it. Should one of us just say one and go?
Sure. Like, I'm going to do song titles.
I'll do movies.
That's a little bit more my alley.
Yeah, movies are more up my alley. More sure. Mup my alley.
There you go. So yeah. Maybe you do movie titles.
Yeah. So I'll start with a movie title. How's that?
Okay, sure.
And I'll just say it out flat without any context.
Right, right, right.
Because that's the idea. And then you have to respond in a way that somehow this all makes sense by the time we're done saying a bunch of these. Hopefully.
Okay.
So, Gem and the Holograms.
Should I stay or should I go?
This is where I leave you.
All night long?
Leave it to Beaver.
Would I lie to you?
Yes, man.
Oh, there we go. Now we're on the right track.
Yeah, we're cooking with gas.
Yes. Mm-mm-mm-mm.
Yesterday, tomorrow, or sorry, yesterday, today, and tomorrow?
This is horrible. I don't think this is at all what somebody wanted.
Do one more.
Cry me a river.
A river runs through it. We did it. We did it. We did it. We somehow pulled that off. Wow, that was rougher than I thought it was going to be. It's all right. It worked out. Ian Levinson says, I'd like to see a segment full of Scott trying to pronounce last names and Brian correcting him. So now I've heard heard that you have a list of names for me to try to pronounce.
That's right. No, I sent you, I shared a Google Doc with you.
All right.
They're not last names. These are actually musician names.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have last names. You have said.
I'm checking right now.
Okay.
Sorry, it's a little slow. My email for some reason. I don't know why.
Oh.
Okay, there we go. Okay, here we go. I found it. Okay.
There we go. I just saw you join it, so that's good.
Band names to pronounce. So these are band names. Interesting.
These are band names, yes.
All right. So I'm going to give it, and you keep score. You tell me how I do.
Sure.
And tell me as I go so I know.
Yeah, I'll let you do it. So this first one.
Okay, here we go. First one.
And by the way, for those of you who are not in front of Scott's computer, the first one is spelled LYKKE space LI.
Okay, I'm going to say likely.
That is incorrect. It is pronounced Licky Lee.
Licky
Move on
Lee.
To the next one.
I was Licky sure Lee. They were trying to be funny with the likely, you know, like it's likely, but spelled it wrong.
Likely, sure.
Next one is spelled H-A-I-M. I'm going to say it's, because it can't just be Haim. I'm going to say it's Haim.
Oh, very good. You got that one exactly right. Yes.
All right.
Three sisters, all with the last name Haim.
Okay.
And fantastic. I'm waiting for their second album because their first one was so damn good.
All right. Number three is Bon space I-V-E-R. Obviously, it can't just be Bon Iver.
It cannot.
So I'm going to say it's Bon Iver.
You know what? I'm going to give that to you. It's Bon Iver.
Bon Iver.
So I'd say that's close enough to,
right.
to Warren.
Okay. That's more of an accent thing. I'm doing all right
it
then.
It is. It's more of an accent thing, yeah.
All right. How about this one? The next one, S-U-F-J-A-N, Stevens.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say Sufwan Stevens.
I'm not going to give you that one. Sufjan. Sufjan Stevens.
All right. I was knocking at the right door, but it was the house next to me. Okay.
Yes.
Next up.
It was close. I wanted to give it to you, but I just couldn't.
I know. You're a fair-minded guy. So the next one is R-O-Y-K-S-O-P-P, and the O has the two little umlauty dots over it.
Yep.
Well, it's called their
umlauts. Right?
Is that an umlaut? I thought an umlaut was the squiggly, no? I don't know.
No, it's a tilde. It's a squiggly.
All right. On the keyboard there, I got one of those. All right. Royce. Okay, I'm going to say Royskop.
No.
Damn it.
Close though.
All right, what do we do?
Royksop.
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 Oh, that looks just like it's spelled, too. I should have just
gone
for it.
Kind of does. They're a band, electronica band that actually did just a great recent album with the singer Robin.
Yeah. Oh. Like,
my favorite lisping Scandinavian pixie.
He really is the best. next up, art, the word art, and then the word Alex, A-L-E-X-A-K-I-S.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say that's art Alexis.
It is not.
Damn it. What? Sorry. It's,
Art Alexakis, who's the lead singer of the band Everclear.
That's literally Alexakis.
Alexakis.
Ah, shit.
Just like it's spelled.
Then I'm going to try to go straight with this one then. Number seven, final one.
Mm-hmm. Final one.
S-I-G-U-R space R-O-S.
Yes.
Siguros. No?
You know, if there was no space and it was an American name, then I'd say yes. That's Sigur Rós.
Oh, Sigur.
Sigur.
All right. My sister used to call seagulls when we were little. She'd call them seagors because she couldn't say seagull.
Like a flock of seagors?
Yeah. She'd say, Daddy, Daddy, look at the seagors. It's pretty funny. All right. I didn't do too bad, but not great.
Too bad. You know what? Not bad. Could have been worse. You got like four out of the seven.
Yeah. Could have been worse. Could have been worse. Mm-hmm. Next up, we have Ashley Wells says, Scott and Brian have a conversation as Skeletor and Captain Janeway. All right. So the I don't have any good music for that, so we'll just kind of go for it. And so, so you be Captain Janeway.
I'll do Captain Janeway. Yeah,
I'll be Skeletor. And
we need like a context for this conversation, because the problem with the movie title song title thing was that we had no basis. Like we need a place.
Well, here it is. I got it. So Commander Paris has just told you, Captain Janeway, mm-hmm. played by Kate Mulgrew, mm-hmm. that on that there is a ship approaching. And that it says that it is the capital ship of one Skeletor, master of the universe.
Okay.
I don't know what he called himself. Well, did he have another name besides just Skeletor? I think that was it. Anyway, he wants to come on the comm on the screen there and tell you what his demands are. And
I don't think they really meant Skeletor.
Oh, does he mean... He means... I thought he meant Skeletor Crusher. From He-Man. He means Crusher?
Dr. Crusher, sure.
Oh. Well, that's less exciting.
You know what? That's a good point, because we don't do a Skeletor, and we don't do a Dr. Crusher impersonation.
No, I just think she looks all angular.
I'd say do Skeletor.
Okay, fine. So it's Skeletor from He-Man. I do a pretty good He-Man Skeletor, I mean.
Sure, you do, yeah.
Phone just took a dive. Gosh dang it. Nothing's working today. All right, so let's get me up on the comm, and then you initiate the conversation. So here we go. I'll be Commander Paris. Captain, there's a freaking Skeletor man on the screen. He'd like to talk to you.
Skeletor, please tell me what you are doing in the neutral zone.
Okay, hold on. Hold on.
I'm picturing Skeletor standing on the bridge going, okay, hold on. Hold on.
Listen, you puny humans. I demand justice.
Now it's your turn.
Commander Paris, please report to my ready room with Orko.
Listen, you... Fool! I can't do it. I can't freaking do it. I can't think of anything he could demand. What could he want? What could Skeletor ask of Captain Janeway?
How are you able to fly that thing? It's like a big flying castle.
I don't know how to respond.
Get out of my cafeteria.
Oh, we're breaking up.
If I kick you out of prison.
Music rolls, credits roll. Okay, we did our fiduciary agreement. All right, next up, Steven... Denson, he wants a reenactment of the scene from Total Recall when Quaid arrives on Mars in costume, but instead of being...
You're skipping this one, huh?
Oh, I missed it. Oh, no, I'm sorry. We'll do this one.
Okay.
Pete McCann again says, how about a five-minute segment where Scott can't speak and can only express himself through the soundboard? Brian can speak freely and can buy Scott time if he wants, but not for too long. All right. I'm okay with this. Let me get my tools up. I got tools for this.
Okay. Get your soundboard ready.
Okay. I think I'm ready to go. I will now stop. I don't think it'll be 5 minutes.
No. We'll stop when we've got this done.
Yeah. So we'll say we start right now.
So Scott, I've actually got a bit of a deal for you.
What?
I said I've actually got a deal for you.
It's about time the American family got a square deal.
So I think this might be happening. I'm not sure. Can you confirm for me that this is happening?
You could call 911.
No, Aaron, the police can't help with this problem.
Are you hungry? I'm kind of hungry. I wonder if, what time is it? It's 5:14. I don't know. I wonder if they're serving lunch right now. Do you mind? You mind asking the drive-through speaker if they're serving lunch?
Hey, do you want to get a fish sandwich?
That's what I was going for right there. Oh no, they don't have the fish sandwich here. They've only got a some sort of chicken thing. Can you ask them what that is?
Proven to reduce fish burps.
Wait. Could you repeat the question?
Yeah, I don't think they've got fish sandwiches right now. I think they've only got some chicken thing. Can you find out what that is?
The enormity of their flat brain.
I don't even know if we've heard that one before.
There really is a Kentucky Fried Chicken school.
Still really in the mood for fish. Do you mind asking them for more fish?
We asked for more fish, and they refused to give us any more fish.
All right. I guess we'll just take whatever that weird chicken sandwich thing is that you might eventually find. Oh, holy cow. I just opened up the bun, and this tomato does not look right.
Tomatoes were, like, black, and tomatoes aren't supposed to be black.
Fuzzy tomato.
Oh, crap. I got some mustard on my sleeve.
Wait, what?
Oh.
It's the sleeves. What does it?
There.
I think we've accomplished what we said.
That's all we could do. Oh my gosh, that cracked me up. That's my favorite one. Whew. All right, next up. Steve. Oh man, we have a lot of these left.
We do, yeah.
What time is it? Oh man, we're supposed to call. Okay, well, let's see. Let's do this. Let's do this Total Recall thing.
Okay.
And then we're going to save the rest for either during or after Dan.
After Dan, sure.
And still get these in. All right. So Steve Dodson or Denson says, a reenactment of, it's weird to talk now because I didn't talk for so long. It's actually weird hearing my voice. That's weird. I didn't expect that. A reenactment of the scene from Total Recall. Quaid arrives on Mars in costume, but instead of being disguised as a woman, he is disguised as Vince Gilligan, and he is being questioned about the length of his visit to Mars. I will play the part of the dude who receives you, okay? Because you're sure. Playing Vince Gilligan, so here we go.
Perfect. Yep, all right.
Excuse me, ma'am. Welcome to Mars. Oh, no, I'm supposed to say the real question first. Hi, ma'am, welcome to Mars. How long will you be staying with us?
Two weeks.
Ma'am, how long typically is it okay before you talk about spoilers in TV shows?
2 weeks.
How long has your luggage been with you the entire time?
2 weeks.
Okay, that's a strange way to answer that. Where do you plan on staying, at the Hilton, or what? Are you near here? Do you need a car?
2 weeks.
And then my head opens.
And then
up.
Your head Ta-da! Opens up. Okay, good. Out pops Jesse Pinkman. Okay, next.
Get ready
up.
For a surprise.
Next up, we're calling Dan. Or no, we're going to take a break. A break. Then we'll call Dan. It's a weird show, and that's fine. We're fine with it. When we come back, Dan will be here. We'll talk about tabletop games. We have some other news and stuff, which has to do with one of these other categories, so we'll get to all that.
Oh, it does, indeed.
But Brian brought music. We're going to play it. What is it, and where is it?
I did. Heather J. wrote in, said, greetings, Swing and Bop. On August 14th, I'll be making the extremely boring 5-hour trek from Minneapolis, Minnesota to Appleton, Wisconsin. I'm so excited to be visiting a friend from college I haven't seen in over a year. Now, to break up the monotony, I'll be saving all my TMS episodes to listen to. By the time I get to Thursday's episodes, I should be nearing my destination. I'm sure I'll need a pick-me-up at that point, and I'm hoping Brian can assist. No particular song, but I'd love to hear something upbeat and either 40s swing or 50s soda pop kind of feel. Love the road, though. Thanks, Heather J.
I like the sound of that.
Yes, and you're going to like the sound of this. I guarantee it. You know, we're just going to go right into it. 40s swing. I'm a big fan of swing and big band music, especially when it's done by one of the former members of the band Squeeze, a guy named Jules Holland. He had a TV show for a while in the UK. I think he still does, later with Jules Holland. It was excellent. And he'd always end the show with like this big hullabaloo with all of the artists who had performed on that show all jamming together on one song, usually a cover. So good. Here's him with John Cale, legendary Velvet Underground musician John Cale, doing a cover of Johnny Mercer's I Want to Be Around. This is probably the most sarcastic love song ever written.
Wow.
and I love it.
All right, I'm down with that. Here it is. I Want to Be Around. We'll be right back.
Pieces when somebody breaks your heart, somebody twice as smart as I, somebody who will swear to be true as you used to do with me, who'll leave you to learn that misery loves company. I wanna be around to see how he does it when he breaks your heart to bits. Let's see if the puzzle fits so fine. And that's when I'll discover that revenge is sweet. As I sit there applauding from my front row seat, when somebody breaks your heart like you broke mine. When he breaks your heart to bits, let's see if the puzzle fits so fine. And that's when I'll discover that revenge is sweet. As I sit there applauding from my front row seat, when somebody breaks your heart like you broke mine. Breaks your heart like you broke mine.
Turns out I was in the mood for exactly that kind of song right now.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, how great is that, huh?
Loved that. It was really, really great. All right, we're going to add Dan to the call and see how it goes from there, you know?
All right.
Just dig in and poke around and see if something moves. It's fine. It's not a problem. We do what we got to do. Let me find. I was going to have his little song here ready. What's wrong with me? Here we go. Oh, yeah. Look at this right here. I'm going to play this. Okay. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, back up your trucks and enjoy the following because it involves one Dan Patrice all the way from, well, originally Long Island, New York, but not now.
Yes, sir.
Dan, how's it going, man?
All right, boys. How you doing?
We're good.
Still cracking up from all those the drop-in madness.
it's freaking terrible.
And you couldn't find the tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch.
I gave you
so much setup for that.
The one thing.
You threw up a lot of softies to him.
Here, I'll make it up.
The tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch.
It's funny how that stuff becomes when I'm on the pressure thing and I can't fill in with my stupid banter. It's really frantic.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Like, finding everything is not as easy as I thought it would be. So that was a real test, I guess.
Well, it's like a trivia show when there's a clock on you. They could ask you your name. You're like, I don't know.
No.
I can't figure it out.
It's freaking impossible. I'll tell you what's impossible is that so much time has passed since we talked to you last. It seems like yesterday, right before you headed off to Gen Con, we headed off to Nerdtacular, and then suddenly we're all back again, talking again. Like, 2 weeks later, here we are.
Yeah, man. You have to promise me one thing, though.
Yeah.
Next time we're playing some heroes, you have to do the Skeletor voice the whole time. just the whole. It's better than actually you do a really good Taskstar voice. Yeah. But the Skeletor is really good.
Yeah.
I'm going to go up and take the top lane.
That's a great idea. You boobs. I could do that the entire time.
That's right. Let's get this camp, you boobs.
I think that's a great idea. I'll try to do that. Tassadar's fun to do that voice, though. I'll tell you, because he's great. He's just so noble, right? He's just yelling things like. Like, I mean, normal StarCraft things like, Antaro Adun. But then occasionally it's like, your life is halfway down, idiot. Go back and get a drink in the fountain.
Well, it's funny when you're playing next to him, it's like, heal me.
Yeah, you know, I'm always making these big demands of you, especially when I'm in my Transformer thing. It's kind of a riot. Anyway, always fun. Dan's a great Heroes player, by the way. Really, really cool. Good. Yeah, always fun to play
with these. It's just because I get to play with you guys.
That's well, and you're substituting this weekend. Dills is out on our Saturday matches, so for our Heroes of the Pants tournament game, at least one of them or two of them, or three of them, is it? I forget now what we're doing.
Yeah, I think it's best of three.
Best of three. You'll be in all three of those.
What round is this? Like the final four or what?
No, this is the first round of the playoffs.
Oh, wow.
Or the Sweet 16, yeah, basically.
Okay.
So we are moving on to the next phase. We feel pretty good about our chances. There's one team that really owns our goat right now, and the rest of them we've had little to no trouble with. So I don't know how it's going to go with that team when we meet them again, but Dan will be there to give us some wins.
And you got to give them the canned responses. It's going to be a hard match. We're going to give 110%. We're going to work as a team and see what we can do.
I like it. Now, Dan, it's good to have you back. You went to Gen Con. You've probably had a billion things happen since then to deal with the tabletop and whatnot. I'm sure you've got something for us today. So what are you recommending?
Gen Con had 61,000 unique attendees, and I think that was a turnstile of 197,695.
It's pretty good.
Wow.
Which is pretty huge. Yeah. In India, they said that they pretty much said that that's the biggest con every year other than when they had the Super Bowl, which makes sense.
Yeah.
The biggest event they've had. But Ibit, did you get some gaming in at before I get to the game that I like one of the, I'm really happy to show you this game, me talk about this game tonight. But I hear you playing some Dice Masters.
I did. Oh man, huge thanks to Steven Schleicher, major spoiler Steven Schleicher. Took some time out of his Nerdtacular time to teach me and Tristan how to play Dice Masters. And I am all in to this game. I've got a little vision dice right here.
Oh, yeah. Every time I turned around, I swear you were sitting there playing that thing. It looked great.
Every chance I could get. And really, I felt like I only played like three or four games, but there was some time in the board game room at the end of the after Nerdtacular. And there was some other time the next day before we had to wrap up for dinner. And now I got Tristan into it. He's got his own D&D set. And, of course, not only can you play against each other, you can even combine. So you have a Marvel and Dungeons & Dragons and Yu-Gi-Oh! Team playing against DC and
really?
All these other ones.
Really? Yeah. So you can cross all that stuff. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, within the same team. I guess there's not a DC one yet, but there will be soon.
No, there is. No, oh, there I bought is. A Gravity okay. Feed. I bought a Gravity Feed of the DC one, so, and I got my Flash Ultra Rare, or Super Rare, or whatever they call them. But yeah, I've got an a feed. It's so hard to stop, to keep yourself from just opening up 90 packs, like, right
It really
away.
Is. Yeah, when we were in Las Vegas, there's the Pinball Hall of Fame, and right next door to that is a gaming store that sells old video game stuff. Didn't have any Vectrex stuff, bummer. And then a tabletop gaming place, and they had the Gravity Feed packs for 80 cents each. So I'm like, I have to take advantage of this price. This is fantastic.
What is it normally? Is it usually more than 80
like
cents?
Usually a buck.
Yeah, about a buck. Yeah. If you look at a couple weeks ago, I went on a miniature market, and everybody out there, check out Miniature Market, $45 for a Gravity Feed.
Oh, holy cow,
and that's
really?
90 packs. You know, that's a pretty good deal.
50 usually, cents a...
Yeah, right around that. So, yeah. I mean, it's great because you just want to, it's funny, you just get addicted to just, it's like just one more. And you're just trying to hold off to opening them all. But the game, it's so much fun. And
it really is.
Now, do you have to be buying a bunch of, I mean, it sounds like one of the, like, I don't want to go down a path of like Magic the Gathering where I always feel like I got to keep buying packs and go broke.
You don't have to at all.
You have to.
Yeah, even just the starter set, actually, in a rare move, the starter set actually has enough for two people to play against each other.
Wow.
So each person doesn't even have to go buy their own starter set. You and Nick could be playing starter set in no time.
Oh, like now I'm gonna.
You know, so you need to go. You need to go to Game Night Games, Scott.
Okay.
That's where you need to go.
All right.
Right there on 2300 and 6400th intersection.
It's really weird to hear you talking like Utah grid road speak.
right by the green burrito, Carl's Jr., whatever it is.
Wait, you just described every corner. Damn it. We're going to have to narrow this down. All right. Anyway, sorry, Dan, you were saying.
But no, I was going to say, all you have to do, what would be real fun for you to do, Scott, is you just grab like the starter pack and you grab like 10 of the boosters and just have like a little draft. You and Nick just kind of open up two each, kind of pass them back and forth, drafting some guys and just play, because it's more fun when you're not trying to be overly competitive. If you're just trying to see, oh, hey, well, what is Batman going to do against Deadman? You know, things like that. Or, you know, if you mix in sets, you know, Deadpool against those. You know, it's just seeing all the different combinations you can make, the teams you can make. I mean, obviously, it helps to have a little bit more because the base game doesn't have some of the extra characters, you know, that you would get. So you got to get more than one die of each one, because each pack comes with two cards and then two dice that go with those cards.
I got it.
You know, there'll be you know, you may get like a Catwoman and a Zatanna, and you'll get the die for them for those particular ones. And I think there's three different versions of each character in the set. So each one die goes with the same.
So if you go crazy and get tons of this stuff, are you gonna end up with like a million dies, or is it?
You do end up with a bunch, but you'll need anywhere from three to four. You'd want somewhere around
three or four of each character that you want to play. Yeah. And like I said, here's what you do. You and Nick get a starter set, just one.
All right.
$13 if you get it on Miniature Market. Holy crap, that's a great deal.
Seems like a good deal. Yeah.
$20 if you get it at Game Night. Or wherever you go, and then maybe pick up a gravity feed and just divide those, you know, like split up the doubles and then figure out characters you both like and just pull from that. Like Tristan and I, when we play, we're really just pulling from my complete set, and he just says, I want to be these four characters, and I say, all right, I'll be these four, and we'll play.
What the hell's a gravity feed, by the way?
That's one of those boxes when you go to the store.
Yeah.
So usually when there's like packs that are all the same thickness, it's really easy to just have a box with all the packs in them, like Magic the Gathering. When you go to the game store and they've got the cardboard box that has all the packs in it.
Sure.
Well, when you've got these weirdly shaped packs that have two dice and two cards in it, you can't stack them all up against each other. So you've got a box with a little hole in the bottom, and they just drop to that hole, and you just grab them out of the hole.
Literally a gravity feed.
A gravity feed, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, and it just kind of opens up the front, like just kind of like a drawbridge opens up the front, and you can just kind of grab them out of there.
Yeah.
And one last recommendation, Scott, and anybody else who plays this.
Yeah.
The best purchase you can make with the game is a pair of mats.
Oh, really?
The Dice Master's mats. I think that they're invaluable to like keeping things organized and having things where you want them.
Okay. Well, you look like you're having fun to me.
It was a blast. That game is a total blast, and I'll play it day or night.
All right.
And if you have any of those like Bass Pro Shops or anything like that, you can get those Plano boxes. They're kind of like the flat tackle boxes.
Yeah.
It's great for keeping your dice, and there's even some that have, you know, they're adjustable, so you can kind of put where a slot to use, put your cards in. So you can put your cards in there, and it's just a little bit more, because you're going to have just dice everywhere. Yeah. It's better than just having baggies of dice and cards.
Keeps them organized. Yeah, totally.
All right.
Yeah, look at that. I mean, Marvel or Miniature Market still has the gravity feed for Age of Ultron for $62.37. That's still super cheap.
Still a good deal. Yeah. And they put them on sale quite a bit. And next month, I don't know if you're a DC guy. I'm a huge DC guy. I mean, I play anything Dice Masters, but War of the Light is coming out in September, which is all the lanterns.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Red Lantern, Green Lantern, Yellow Lantern, big fat alien lanterns. Those are great.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be really, really cool. I'm looking forward to seeing. I saw some of the dice and stuff at Origins. They weren't at Gen Con, but I saw WizKids had them up at Origins, so it was real fun. Nice. But I got the game. I can't even tell you how excited I am.
This
game was the game of Gen Con. I kind of didn't really want to get into it because, you want to be hipster. If everybody in the world loves something, you're kind of like, it's probably going to suck.
Yeah.
But this game, everybody was pretty high on. And this is a game, no matter if you're a gamer, a non-gamer. I mean, Ibbot, you'd be playing this game with your neighbors, Scott, with your family, all the time. This is the game, and it might even be my game of the year. It's called Codenames.
Codenames.
It's by Czech, I think it's called Czech Games Edition. Codenames. I'm going to put a little, let me see if I can get it into the...
Codenames, all one word?
Yep. It's only $20. It's kind of more of a party game, but... So you have a grid of 5x5. If you look at that picture I sent up there for you guys, grid by 5x5 by words. Now you're going to have two different teams. So you're going to have, let's just say me and Scott were the leaders of our team, we're going to be on one side looking at this grid. So it's 5x5 with words. Now, I may be blue and Scott would be red. So we're looking at a card that has the grid, and we're trying to get our team to guess, to point at the words, like to put, they basically, the, you know, the final answer is kind of, you put your finger on the card, and that's mm-hmm. how you determine, you know, your guess for the round. And you're trying to get your team to do yours, and you go back and forth. So I may say, like, you know, they may have all these words, and I may say, like, T3, and there may be, like, lemon, hot, and sugar out there. And I'm trying to get you guys to point at that, but I might have missed that, the fact that there was something like honey was out there. I was like, crap, so I'm hoping to myself that you don't pick honey. Now, the big catch is you're only trying to pick, of the 25 cards that are out there, each team has like eight or nine, depending on who goes first. If you go first, you have to guess one extra. There's some blanks that will end your turn. And there's also an assassin. If your team picks the assassin, you lose. Just out of the game. Just absolutely lose. Right. Which, it happens, but I mean, hopefully it doesn't happen all that often. Yeah. But it's this game, because so you can play like either 2-on-2, or you can play like 7-on-7. So it doesn't really matter, because you can have any size as long as you have two people giving clues to two different to their teams.
Yeah.
So it's only going to be like $20. Amazing.
Can you explain this to me? Why are some people in these photos playing these on top of Cards Against Humanity cards? Was there a way to mix these two games or something?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. Maybe they decided to use that. Boy, that would be...
Wow, that's crazy to me.
Jeez. Yeah, they were playing this at the trivia thing. So there were some downtime while we were waiting for other things to go. And I looked over and saw these cards. I had no idea what they were playing, but they were having a blast. Like, whatever, you know, whatever they were playing, as I was looking over there, they were having a great time with it. So
and there's a bunch of cards that come, and they're double-sided with different words on each side. So the replayability is enormous. I can't even tell you. Like, every time we had a free time, I'm like, we got to play Code Names. It was ridiculous.
How available is it? Can I get this now?
It's going to be out next week. Is what they said the release should be. If it's not next week, it's the week after. But I'm pretty sure last week is when they said 2 weeks. So it'll be out next week. You'll see it everywhere, because this game is ridiculous how much fun it is. You will. I mean, Scott, you can play with this right now with all your family. I mean, you can play with either your gamer friends or your family, and just... It's just a ton of fun.
It sounds
fantastic.
And
I played it probably about 12 times at Gen Con, and I didn't get worn out at all.
Wow.
And I'm a heavy gamer. Yeah. You know, I love heavy games.
Yeah. No,
So Code Names is the name of the game. And
no pre-order
when it comes
on
out, do us a favor and send us a link to where we can buy it.
Yeah, please.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I want this ASAP.
Yeah, as soon as I see that it's out, I'll shoot you guys a link in either one of the good sites to get it.
Yeah, I was hoping Amazon would have a pre-order, but they don't. So.
It's too bad we didn't have this for Nurtacular, right? It would have been great to see this.
Yeah, and we had a lot of games that were premiering at Gen Con also showing up there. All the Cryptozoic stuff that was premiering was also there. And we also had a couple of things, like the Ghostbusters game was there.
That's
solid. A lot of people were talking about. Yeah. There was another one that was, crap. It was more kind of classical looking. It was kind of a big deal, they were saying, and I forgot the name of it.
Oh, don't tell me it was Tesla versus Edison that they were playing.
Yes. How is that? Is that any good?
Depends on it. Okay, here's the thing. Like, it depends on what type of gamer you are.
All right.
I hated it. Okay. Absolutely hated it. Because it's dry as toast, and there's not really a fun thing you do in it, in my opinion.
Okay.
Now, the game itself, it looks great. It's a well-made game.
Yeah.
I'm just not really... There's a certain type of economic games I like, but I don't want to sit playing a stock market game. There's other like minor things I don't like, where like there's a couple of tracks that two teams are going against.
Mm-hmm.
So we played a 5-player game, and you're trying to either go up the AC or DC, because Tesla and Edison, they fought over AC and DC back in the day. And apparently, you know, Edison was quite the dick.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Yeah, like the way he treated... animals and elephants, right? He was a real jerk, big jerk.
And
even in business and everything, he treated his people really bad. But you're going up these two tracks, so if you get like a 5-player game, so three people are going to be investing in one side, and the other two people might be investing in the other side. But if your partner in the DC side is not trying to help you, and you're the only one trying to keep everything going back to your balance, man, you're going to find an uphill battle. And then, you know, odd numbers. I mean, it could be a kingmaker situation where, you know, you're basically just playing to see who's going to win, and then one person who's not going to win may determine who's going to win. And that's kind of what happens in some of these economics. So I don't like playing games where, like, you may start off with $10,000 and you may finish with, like, $10,100. Like, you feel like you're spinning your wheels all the time. And it's not because I lost. I only played it once. I'll admit I only played it once. But it's just dry. There's, like, 1,000 other games I'd rather play, but it looks fantastic. It's not for me, but it may be for other people. It's getting a lot of buzz. I'm probably like the only person on the planet. I know Buckeye Fitzy was raving about it. And I think even Iceworm loved it when he tweeted the picture, because everyone's been giving me grief because I don't like it.
Well, I'll tell you what, it impressed me, and it's purely based on an aesthetic. It was just the visual of it. It looked really pretty.
The graphic design is among the best I've seen. I will give it. I mean, I'll give it a lot of props. The graphic design is great. The bits are fantastic. I usually hate paper money in games.
Yeah.
But this has some really nice cardboard money. Impressive.
Yeah. That stuff. In fact, that's what caught my eye, and I went, "Whoa, what is this?" And he goes, "Yeah, check this out. This is a Gen Con this week." And they were talking all about it, and I thought, I've got to return to this, but I knew I'd end up talking to you first. So dry as toast, says Dan Patrice. Yeah.
So I bought of the 18 games I talked about. I think I bought about either had or bought 10 of them.
Mm.
So that's $500. Wow. I mean, some of them I had like from a previous from Origins or got sent for a review copy.
Yeah.
But still, that's way too much. My wife's going to shoot me. But I'm sorry, but I didn't mean to interrupt you, man.
No, that's all right. Something else I got to play for the first time that I know, you know, is nothing new to most tabletop players, but finally got to play Bang. And that's another, that game's another blast.
Here's the stupid thing. I went and spent $20 or whatever it is on Bang for the Heroes of the Storm.
Oh, yeah, right.
And I bought it just for Nerdtacular, packed it, brought it with me, never played it, came home, still haven't played it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I really want to try that thing.
That's right. You can play that with the kids and with Kim.
I need at least 4 people, right?
Right. Okay. Well, I think it's more fun with 4 people, yeah.
Well, the more the merrier with that one. But again, I mean, I don't know if you guys remember from last year, Nib, but I don't know if you played the dice game, Bang the Dice game. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To me, that's a little bit more fun because it's a lot easier to get into.
Mm. Yes.
And it's a lot less agita for it. Mm-hmm.
It was the dice one. You mean, basically we were playing gunslingers and assassins and things like that, but we were rolling dice, so.
Okay, so you were probably playing Bang the Dice game then, because think regular Bang is just a card game.
Mm. Oh, really? Okay, no, we were playing Bang the Dice game.
Oh, yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah. When I first saw when someone said, ooh, look, there's this, it was sight unseen. This is how disgusting my habit for Heroes is. I saw this thing, it's called Heroes of the Storm Bang Edition, or Bang Heroes of the Storm Edition, and I'm like, I don't care, just freaking buy it. Can I be Tassadar in that?
Why wouldn't you, right?
Draw a card before your turn ends.
You're shoot you, human.
You've got a sickness, Scott. You've got a sickness.
I really do. It's disgusting, kind
of. You've got a fever.
Yeah.
You've got a Tassadar. You need to get it looked at.
Yeah. More heroes purchases.
More heroes.
Good stuff. I'm stoked, man. Codenames. That's on my radar now. I want that.
Yeah, don't buy it. I saw some people in the chat room saying it's on eBay for a lot of money. Don't do it. It's going to be out in a couple weeks. It's only like $20, maybe $25 at your store, depending. But it's not going to be a lot of money.
Okay.
Fantastic.
I like that. Sounds worth it to me.
Can drunk people with short attention spans play it?
Listen, I'll tell you a story off the air about us playing drunk after hours. It's just unbelievable. But it'll help after you play it. It makes
sense. That's the determining factor whether or not the neighbors can play.
Yeah.
And one time, maybe we'll get you can actually play Dice Masters on Skype. We may have to pull that off.
Yeah, I guess so. Because all you need to do is be able to see what I roll, right?
Okay. What do you need to start that? Just a starter kit thing or whatever?
Yeah.
Matt, that could be a fun live recorded special Patreon thingy we could do.
Ooh, that's very good. Yeah.
And bring Dan in on that. That'd be all right.
I can appreciate and tell you guys what's going on, and you guys can play each other.
Yeah,
I'm
a total noob, so you can laugh at me as I fail miserably.
Look, the thing about dice is you could be a noob. My 8-year-old has beaten me at Dice Masters.
Oh,
before.
Good. All right. Yeah. Well, I feel better about it already.
Which means you have a chance.
Excellent. Dan Patrice, Geek Jock Blog on Twitter. Anything else going on you'd like folks to know about?
No, check out this weekend we're recording the Geek All-Stars Gen Con review episode. So that'll be going up next week.
Yeah, keep your eye on that. Dan, we'll talk to you soon. Let's play a little Heroes later. What do you say?
I'll be there.
Bye now. See ya. All right. Brian, we didn't do any of the things that we were going to do with him, but that's okay.
Oh, that's all right.
I don't think any of these actually included a guest.
The last one could, but didn't have to.
Oh, that's right.
And it just puts him on the spot in case.
Yeah, I could have done that one, I suppose. All right, we're gonna do the rest of these. Come hell or high water. We're going a little long today. It's just the way it is.
We started late.
So here's Dwayne Cole. He says, while reading the news, and I have some news here.
Coyle.
What'd I say? Cole?
Cole.
Oh, gosh. Bingo. Reading the news while doing voices, alternate who reads the news and the chat room picks the voice and situation. So example would be reading the latest Florida Man story as Christopher Walken in Pulp Fiction. So, okay. So, chat room, you're in on this, although I guess you're going to be delayed here as to when I just said all this. All right. So, it's going to take a second.
Let's tell them now. Start getting your suggestions.
Yeah.
And the first news story is Sesame Street inking a 5-year deal with HBO.
Yep. 5-year deal with HBO, Sesame Street. Then also, so now there's your first one. Then be thinking of Will Smith wants to reboot The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, I think we just do one of these. I think we just do one.
Oh, okay. We'll just do one then. Sesame Street Inc.'s 5-year deal with HBO is the one. Or you can choose any of these. We got Shatner hosting an official Star Trek cruise, Will Smith and The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, or Sesame Street Inc.'s 5-year deal with HBO. And Brian, you get to choose whatever you want.
I'll do, I like this. I'll do Sesame Street Inc.'s 5-year deal with HBO, and they've asked for a Third Eagle's voice.
Oh, you do him good. This is your job then.
All right.
Okay.
So as we know from Leviticus, on Thursday, HBO announced a pretty stellar 5-year partnership with Sesame Street that is set to give the iconic brand the necessary platform to churn out almost twice as much new content as previous seasons.
Keep going. You're not done.
According to a press release, the show will not be removed from PBS and related affiliates, but as we know, it will instead make HBO the exclusive first-run subscription television distribution partner for Sesame Street and the new series.
Wait, there's a little end times at the end.
There's a little end times.
Yeah.
New series, you ask? Well, HBO's deal also includes a Muppet-centered spin-off series and a new original educational series aimed at children.
And as we know, children are the leopard.
The number 4 indicates that children are the devil.
Number 2.
All right, great. Good one. That went well. Right. Bob Bateman, I want Brian Ibbett to do... Oh, this is great because it's rolling right into you again.
Yeah, right.
I want Brian Ibbett to do at least 20... This is down from 100.
Yeah, he funded 100, but we're going to say 20.
Yeah, 20 different voices, and you can say whatever you want. If I don't recognize them, or you do them until I recognize them.
Yeah, here's the thing. So at this point, we're going to get the chat room to start throwing voices out, people that I do impersonations of.
All right. I'm not going to look.
I'm going to keep doing impersonations until you recognize it, and then I move on to the next one. So you cannot look at the chat room during this whole thing.
Okay, I'm in.
So they're going to give me a name. Like, basically, I just want them to rapid-fire throw out people I do impersonations of, or maybe people I don't do impersonations of, and I can't say their name, and you have to guess them. And once you guess who I'm doing, then I move on to the next one. Fair enough.
All right, I'm ready.
All right. So we'll start with this one with
Bill
a
Cosby.
Little bit of all right, and we'll see if we can do this one. It'll take considerably less than 2 weeks.
Vince Gilligan.
All right, step away from the vehicle.
RoboCop.
Yep. Hey Bert, how about we Ernie. Do this one right here? You let me know if you know who I'm trying to impersonate
Ernie.
Right here.
Ernie. He doesn't have a last name. Ernie.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's Pantuso.
Oh.
And next one here. Oh, jeez. No, I'm not doing that one. Impersonation Man. Excelsior has the ability to guess who I'm impersonating at any given time.
Stanley.
Act 1. We'll see if we can guess who I'm impersonating. Act 2.
Ira Glass.
There you go.
Okay.
That impersonation was tight.
Tico, or the guy who plays Tico.
Close enough.
Tuco.
How many is that so far?
I have lost count.
I don't know. I haven't been keeping track of how many different voices I've been trying to do here.
Wait a minute. I don't know if I know this one.
Come on.
give me another line.
I used to do the voice of the duck on the Aflac commercial. And I got fired because I was saying some things that were not too professional about Aflac.
It is...
My eyes are very squinty. How do I possibly see out of these eyes? They're closed so bad.
I can't think of his name.
All right, we'll move on.
What's eating? Gilbert's grape.
Yeah, well, that's my first name. You
Gilbert
said
Gottfried.
First... There we go. Right
oh,
there.
My gosh.
I
can't believe you could say, what's eating, and I knew Gilbert's grape.
All right.
That's disgusting. All right.
Okay, here's another one. All right. A reboot of the popular 90s sitcom Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. What is reportedly...
It's me.
All and right. With that, I'd like to say that Scott's my bitch.
Yeah, of course. Veronica Belmont.
$50.
Ernest Borgnine.
There we go. I think we're done. I think we're done.
That's at least 20. That was really good. 20. Man, you got I was actually kind of impressed.
I don't know if I've ever pulled out a Gilbert Gottfried before.
I don't think either, so to speak. here's one that I'm looking forward to. Nicole Rue Davis, I guess is her name. Nicole Davis.
All right.
Any segment where Scott does his old man voice and Brian does Stan Lee, maybe they can pretend they're Captain America war buddies at Tony Stark's party. So we can decide if we want to do... here's my suggestion for that.
Okay. For setup, what's the situation?
I tell the story, the William Shatner hosting the first Star Trek cruise story, and you, and I'm doing that as the old man, are Stan Lee, and you interject a bunch.
Sure. I love it.
Okay. All right. So you ready?
Sure.
Here goes.
Next up in the news, actor William Shatner. That's a long word for Shatner, isn't it?
That's the past tense, if I'm remembering it correctly.
He's gonna host an official Star Trek cruise.
Cruise man, I got an idea for a new superhero. Cruise man has the ability to eat for 24 hours straight, and somehow I'm getting Gilbert Gottfried in here as well. Excelsior!
Okay, nice. Comic book creator man, just sit still for a minute. William Shatner also played the famous starship captain in several Star Trek films and television episodes. I used to watch it on the Dumont.
Well, you have lots of television shows at Marvel that we're happy to be releasing. First up is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is in its third year. And we are going to be introducing a new one called Cigarette Man. And he's long and you light him on one end. And he's got the power to end the villains' lives by 7 minutes each. Excelsior!
I don't know anything you're saying. Those who partake in the cruise will set sail aboard the Norwegian Pearl.
Norwegian man! Hold on, I've got an idea for a new superhero here. Norwegian man, he's got the ability to hover slowly above the Earth's surface and his heart beats through his skin like a little baby fish.
Excelsior.
Excelsior!
Guests will be treated to performances, comedy shows, and concerts by Star Trek actors, as well as talks from several top scientists and other experts in all things Star Trek.
There's a lot of people who know things about Star Trek, you silly person.
Other Star Trek actors joining Shatner aboard the Pearl include Marina Gamaltoe Sirtis.
Marina Sirtis, man, able to turn from a fairly useless character in the first season into somebody fairly viable as she got later on there.
Jonathan Frakes.
Jonathan Frakes, man. He has the ability to sit on a chair in 14 different ways, Excelsior.
Robert Picardo.
Robert Picardo, able to get confused with Captain Picard by various people, Excelsior.
James Darren, whoever the hell that is.
I don't know who that is. Unknown man. Probably asking $45 for a signature. Excelsior!
And then together, Denise Crosby and John DeLancey.
Who will be performing as the act Trashbag and Q, a new detective series coming from Marvel Studios.
Trashbag and Krusty Man!
All right, we did it. Boy, look how long news would take if it was just those two the entire time.
Right.
Finally, Joey Image on how Scott and Brian are reading a serious... Oh, it's another voice one. You know what? I might skip this. Well, no, you know, we're doing it.
Yeah, because you don't want to do that last one, do you?
No. what's the last... Oh, yeah, that one, dude. Okay. I need a news article we haven't done, so hold on a second.
It's the Will Smith one we haven't done.
Oh, we haven't done that. You're right.
We haven't done that one.
Okay, so let's do that one. Ooh, Straight Outta Compton's getting decent music reviews, by the way.
Yeah.
I want to see it.
It's getting decent meme reviews, too. Holy cow, everything's straight out of this and straight out of that.
Yeah. It's taking the world by storm. All right, so here it is. Joey Image asks, how Scott and Brian reading a serious news article would be, but voiced by Gilligan from Gilligan's Island and Skipper from Gilligan's Island.
Right, not Vince Gilligan.
No. He was never on that show. So I'm going to be the Skipper. You're going to be Gilligan.
Right.
You say you've got a good Gilligan voice. I don't think I've heard it, so I'm really excited about this. I've done the Skipper before, but it's usually just, little buddy, boop, you know, getting hit in the gut. So we're going to do the best we can, and we'll read the Will Smith wants to reboot The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. We'll alternate lines. There are four. That means two each. All right?
Hey, Skipper. I was collecting coconuts on the beach, and I found about this reboot of the popular 90s sitcom The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. It's reportedly in the works.
No, little buddy. According to TV line original series lead Will Smith, I've never heard him talk more than, oh, little buddy. Is spearheading the project where he'll serve as producer of Overbrook Entertainment. Oh!
Well, the professor had me come over to his hut and tell me that the show is reportedly in the early stages of development and will provide a modern-day take on the show. This is horrible.
That's really bad.
Sorry, Joe Image. Good idea.
Yeah.
Wrong for us.
Yeah. Mr. Howell touched me in my swimsuit place. All right. Moving on to our final category. Caroline Fortuna. Mm-hmm. I'd like a portion of the show to be done as a musical.
Related to Bib Fortuna.
This is correct. She wants like Broadway style singing, want emotion and heart and all that. I think we do it for rolling out of here. Our closing out the show. What do you think of that?
I think that's a great idea.
All right. So here's how we're going to do it. Here's what we'll do. I'll talk about the normal things we'll do each line. So it'll be patreon.com/TMS. You do the next one and so on.
Sure.
Until the very end. We stop before you have to tell us what song you're going to play. Does that make sense?
Perfect.
All right, I'm going to start it.
I could even do introducing the song as a... Well, never mind.
Well, if you want to, it's up to you, man.
Yeah, we'll see how we're doing. Let's not commit to anything until after we get through these first ones.
So I'm going to play... I need some music that's kind of up and upbeaty like that. So what have I got here? How about this one? Let's just get a little... All right, here we go. A little stage jazz. Patreon.com/TMS. That's where you support us and give us your money. That's really great because we need your money.
And if you wanna come to the site, you gotta go to frogpants.com/TMS.
801-471-0462.
If you want to send an email, you got to email it to themorningstream@gmail.com.
And then finally, big finish. Twitter, you find us at morningstream, at Scott Johnson, and at Coverville.
Perfect.
Bow, take a stage. We're done. We never have to do this again. Although people will probably ask for it.
Yes.
There you go. Thank you for participating in this ridiculousness, everybody, and for being a part of it and for suggesting those. And thank you for your votes. And thanks for helping us win the podcast award.
That's right.
We're super grateful. And for those that were wondering if Schwood and Jury had already sung their song, they did.
Sang it. Somebody even brought that up in Nerdtacular saying, hey, Jury, Schwood, you guys are both here. You should sing the song. And Jury's like, hey, we've already fulfilled that commitment.
Yeah. And then that guy felt bad because he hadn't heard the episode, but they did.
I know. You call yourself a listener, bro?
This extra long episode now leaves, and it does it in style, like always, with music. Brian, what do you got for me?
Yes. No Cano Jr. emailed in, said, on the 15th, I'll be taking my lovely wife and wonderful daughter on vacation. And sorry, I'm making you drive, my lovely wife. I know you'll understand. With me being on the road for 15 hours a day, but that's a truck driver's life. Didn't have any song in mind, just something upbeat and leaving it up to us. Mm. And as a truck driver... You know, you're hauling a lot of stuff. I kind of wanted to theme this a little bit. I couldn't really do it very well. But you want to always stay one step ahead of your competition, of the other truck drivers out there, right? You want to haul stuff to the other locations faster. So I picked a song, One Step Ahead. This is a cover of the Split Ends song. You know, when you think Split Ends, you think of I Got You and 6 Months in a Leaky Boat. Mm. But you kind of forget about this sleeper hit. It was such a great song. Neil Finn sang lead. So it was a later period of Split Ends. In 2005, a bunch of Australian female-fronted artists and just female solo performers got together and released an album called She Will Have Her Way, which was an Australian singer tribute to Split Ends, Crowded House, and the Finn Brothers, all done with female vocalists. It is fantastic. And there was a follow-up album called He Will Have His Way, where they did the same thing with male artists. This is Amiel, A-M-I-E-L, and it's her cover of Split Enz's One Step Ahead.
All right, I'm stoked to hear this now. So here it is. We'll play it now. We'll be back on Monday with a whole new week of shows. Thank you guys for being here, especially for this Weird PM episode. Thank you for your support on Patreon. You guys are all amazing. Chat room, thank you for enduring us today. We appreciate it. We'll see you guys next week.
Part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
What kind of a deal?
I smell like beef. Ugh.